Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. So this week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about the five simple things that are evidence-based and well-researched that you can do to support your immune system. So as we go into winter here in the Northern Hemisphere, it is colds, viruses, flu season. I keep on getting millions of texts from the NHS about getting flu vaccines and jabs and all of that sort of stuff. So we're heading into the sniffly season of the year. So what can you do to really boost and support your immune system? Also, this is being recorded in 2020. So COVID-19 is rampant, primarily in people's minds more than in their actual immune systems. But anyway, that's different. I have very alternative views to everything that's been going on. But with that, we are all more aware of viruses right now. And whilst viruses have been around forever, and they've actually been a part, we've integrated those into our microbiome, and we've always been fighting off viruses, we're more aware of them in our public consciousness. So what are some of the things that you can do, and what are the ways that you can be intentional in terms of really building in resiliency into your immune system? And that's what we're talking about today. So I'm sharing with you the five things that I do implement with myself, with my son, with my family, and I'm going to give you five action points. And I want you to go away, finish this podcast, and take action on one of these things. You don't need to implement all five at once, but these are all really well-researched ways at helping you to boost your immune system, and so that you can build resiliency into this winter so that you can actually feel good and not be constantly just snotting or phlegming or coughing or feeling just run down, because this year's been hard. A lot of people I'm speaking to are feeling run down. So what I'm going to share with you is going to help. It's as simple as that. So in other life news, I am now about 21 weeks pregnant, which is exciting. I'm pregnant with twins, if you did not know that. And last week we had our 20-week scan, and we are having two girls, which I am so excited about. I was really hoping there'd be a girl in the twin mix. Like, I was thinking we were having a boy and a girl, just because that seems like that happens most. So I was actually really surprised to find out we're having two girls, but I am so excited to have girls and have all that estrogen, and we can all like learn about cycling together and just to raise little beautiful feminists if they want to be. I mean, same with my son as well, but it just feels exciting to have that kind of more feminine energy coming into the house. So I am chuffed about that. And they are so far all healthy and good. Twin pregnancies do come with a lot more risks. So I'll have a lot more regular scans and checkups at the hospital and those kind of things. But so far they are looking good, and I am going to do everything that I can to have a healthy pregnancy. Again, can't always control these things, but there is a good amount of stuff we can do. And some of that is actually implementing the stuff I'm going to talk about today, as well as some of the stuff I talked about last week in terms of that preparing for pregnancy and maintaining a healthy pregnancy. So that is exciting. I've just been seeing my pregnancy pelvic floor physio because I've been having lots of soreness and pain. So that was great. And when I'm pregnant, I really ramp up all the self-care, because my body, I feel it with pregnancy. And obviously I've been bedridden for about 3 months. So I've had a lot of muscle wastage, haven't been moving, lots of issues just from essentially lying down all day, which isn't great for the human body. So I think that's why my physio thinks I'm having so many issues. So I'm basically rehabbing from several months of being bedbound. And that's actually going well, slowly improving and building strength and fitness, which is exciting. I'm just trying to think of other news. I've just started some new programs with clients, which is really fun. Some clients from America, some clients from the UK. And I've just got a bunch of test results through this week. So I have been geeking out, guys, on some hormone panels, which are just, I just love them as tests. So much juicy information. I've had a couple of clients recently come to me around fertility issues and also kind of fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue type things. And it was obvious within their own health histories to run more detailed hormone panels. So I do something called the Dutch test, and I've been getting clients more recently to do where they basically test their hormones throughout their cycle so that we get a full picture of their cycle of what's happening with their hormones. And that has just, it's just been fascinating. I find it fascinating. And it's just so powerful. The more I insist on running tests with clients, the more powerful I see it be, because you just get such a great picture of what on earth is going on within their body. And on that note, if you are thinking, oh, Kezia, I'd love to work with you one-on-one, maybe you want to work with me for a while, but perhaps you've not quite been able to make that financial investment with everything that's been going on this year, I have decided before I go on maternity leave to offer a shorter, kind of like a 6-week one-to-one private program. It's a bit of like an intensive version of what I would normally do with clients. Just over 6 weeks. I'm going to be running it from November to probably the first week or two of January. And it's going to be at a much lower investment cost than normally is to work with me, because it's a shorter amount of time and obviously less consultations. So if you've been thinking, I'd love to work with you, Kezia, I'd love to run some sort of tests, but I don't know where to start, or I don't even know what supplements would be worth me spending my money on, because you don't want to waste your money. Like, where do I even begin? I really encourage you, head over to keziahall.com, join my list on my email list. So the best place to do that is to complete the quiz, which is keziahall.com/quiz, or to get my natural sweetener guide, which you can just scroll down to the bottom of my website and put your details there. And make sure you're getting my emails, because spaces for these final one-to-one programs, these private intensives, are going to go fast. I think I've already filled two of them, and I'm only going to offer like 5 or something. So if you want to work with me, then take action, get on my list. I'd love to help with you. Help with you? I'd love to help you. Oh, these winter months. Otherwise, let's get on and talk about how you can boost your immunity and build resiliency with some 5 simple steps. We are talking immune health today, and what are some of the simple things that you can do to really support your immune system, your body's natural defense mechanisms, so that you wake up feeling resilient, you feel confident in your body's own innate defense mechanisms to fight off viruses and infections and bacteria, because we're heading into that winter season where colds, flus are just always increase. Plus, it's kind of the world's gone crazy with COVID-19. So we also have this more kind of awareness of viruses and kind of viral stuff going on right now than there probably ever has been before. But be really confident in the knowledge that humans have dealt with viruses for as long as we've been alive. In fact, viruses we often think of viruses like bacteria, and they're not. Viruses aren't these like creatures that can live out with themselves. They have no life force necessarily without them within themselves, like say a bit of bacteria would, that can kind of in a way live within itself. A virus is always dependent on host and the information that it brings through its kind of DNA and RNA into the body. And so we have developed and evolved, actually, and our microbiome has become stronger and more resilient through our evolution because we have been exposed to viruses. So what is happening in the world right now isn't a pandemic. I mean, economically and things it is, but from an immune perspective, it's not new. We are constantly facing viruses all the time. What is new is that we are being, is that our environment and our resiliency to deal with those viruses has maybe gotten weaker. And that's where the problem comes in, because people generally don't intentionally look after and support their immune system. And we've done a lot of damage to our external environment, the planet, and our internal environment in terms of our own microbiome through foods and toxins and pollution, all those kinds of things. That basically what I'm saying is, it's viruses aren't new, but if we are not able to handle those viruses, it's because we have created a world where there's a lack of resiliency within our own bodies, and within our environments. And thankfully, the amazing thing is we can input and influence both of those things. We can influence our environment and we can influence our internal reality. And that's what I'm going to talk to you today about. And these are really simple things. None of this is like rocket science or even that time consuming. But what this year has really showed me is a lot about psychology and fear and control and all of these other things, but B, how much, how we're actually feeling the consequence of a kind of lack of resiliency and through choices that have been made for us and choices we've made. And actually, you are far more powerful than you realize. Your body is amazing. And yes, there's more vulnerable people if you are on medications that actively subdue your own innate defense responses and kind of immune suppressing drugs, or you're obviously in the elderly population. You know, every year, unfortunately, people do die of things like flu and pneumonia and these other kind of viral infections because of that kind of lack of resiliency. So it is a thing that happens. But guys, we have so much more influence than we realize. And the stuff I'm going to talk to you about today, in my opinion, and I think through the literature, is going to do you way more good than wearing any sort of mask or covering yourself in slightly toxic hand sanitizer, in my opinion. Okay. I do also think some of the literature backs that up. In terms of the literature around mask wearing especially is pretty poor in terms of, anyway, I'll just not go down that track. I am not a mask wearing fan. I'll just put that out there. I don't think it's supported that well in the literature, and I think it cultivates a fear-based response to a very natural thing, which is viruses. Anyway, that's just my personal opinion. We don't have to agree. Remember, you might, I know people get really annoyed at us non-mask wearing, agreeing people, because I totally get that if it makes other people feel more peaceful and makes them feel safer, then, I mean, it was not that big a deal for me to wear a mask. But the fact that people don't feel safe leaving their house anymore, that's the biggest thing that I'm questioning, because it's not, people aren't safe. The virus is no reason to make people feel unsafe, basically. Anyway, I'll not go into that. My opinions are mine. We can have different ones. But wherever you stand, wherever your opinions are, you can completely disagree with me. The stuff I'm going to share about boosting your immune system, please do. Please take action on this stuff. Because COVID or not, you don't want to get the flu and you don't want to get a cold. And there's nothing worse than spending like October through to January as like, or like just super nasally, or like spluttering. And now these days, you don't want to go outside and be coughing. Oh, I was in a cafe the other day and my son was fake coughing. He just thought it was funny. And I was like, Millen, buddy, I don't think people appreciate your 2-year-old fake coffee. He was just sitting there in the coffee shop like, and you know, and he's totally fine. And I was just like, let's find another game. This isn't the time to be pretending to cough. But in general, you don't want to get sick, you don't want to get the flu, you don't want to get colds. This year has been a hard year for many of us, for most people in different ways. And adding in a stream or several months worth of colds, flus, COVID, whatever it is, viral infections, let's just say, it's just something we don't need, especially going into Christmas. I want you to be feeling good. So whether your kids get sent home from school for another 2 weeks and you're back with everyone at home, whether work is really mental and really full on, whether you've actually just been really struggling with isolation and with your mental health, you don't then want to add in a bunch of snot and phlegm into that mix, do we? It's just not nice. So these are some really simple kind of evidence-based things that will help you with viral infections and with boosting your immune system and just adding that resiliency into your body and into your life so that you're not constantly feeling run down. And after the year we've had, a lot of people will be entering this winter season run down. You'll be tired, you'll be exhausted, you'll be a bit stressed out, you'll be frustrated at the news or anxious about the news, you'll be sick of your family or from working from home, you'll either feel isolated or you'll feel like you've been the busiest you've ever been. A lot of people are feeling run down. I'm feeling run down. So I've been really carefully making sure I implement these things myself, implement them for my son and to a certain extent to my husband, but you know, he makes his own choices, but I do have some control over my 2-year-old. So he is getting all of these things. Okay. So let's talk about numero uno. I think I just blended 2 languages there. Apologies. Side note, I have very, very, very minimal knowledge of Spanish, Italian, and French, but my knowledge is so poor that often if I'm in any of the countries that speak those languages, I just blend all 3 languages together. Like, hola, mi amo Kezia, ¿sabá? You know, which is Spanish and French mushed together. It's sometimes embarrassing to be British and our lack of multilingual and just speaking other languages. Anyway, maybe one day I'll live in France and get a proper grip on the French language. But anyway, number one, I digress, is sleep. I talked about this, I think, a couple of episodes ago when I was talking about what to do when life is hard. But sleep and prioritizing your both quantity and quality of sleep is really, really important. And I tend to talk to clients about those 2 things separately. A lot of people, you might have switched off as soon as I've said sleep because you're like, yeah, I fall asleep fine and I wake up fine. I don't have any major sleep problems. But that basically is you just saying, oh, Kezia, I get enough quantity of sleep. That does not mean your quality of sleep is very good. You can be getting 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours of sleep in quantity. That does not always translate to good quality of sleep. And good quality sleep is where you're going in through cycles of deep sleep and REM sleep, and you're having several cycles of those through the night, and that you're actually hitting a good, what, about 90 minutes of REM sleep as a minimum. And I think it's roughly maybe like an hour and a half, maybe the same of deep sleep, maybe 2 hours of deep sleep, and then small snippets of light sleep throughout the night. So it's really, really important that you prioritize sleep. Now, the first thing to do is probably look at quantity. So if that is a struggle for you. So recently, I think just with being pregnant and being a bit stressed out, and probably low in magnesium as well, I was like waking up, I've had more bad dreams and waking up and not being able to get to sleep. So I was only having deep quality sleep until like 2 a.m. and then really light sleep until like 6, which was leaving me feeling grim. So I've really tightened up on my own kind of sleep recommendations myself. And the last few nights I've had proper night sleep again, even though my son's woken up, but I've gone back into that deep sleep cycle, and it's made us a huge difference. So sleep is really important. Yeah, so really look at your quantity of sleep. Can you get another hour in? Should you really be sitting up watching Netflix till 11 o'clock and then going straight to bed? Or could you go to bed at 10? Follow your own natural rhythms and really honor those. If you are someone that does better staying awake later at night and sleeping in the morning, do make the most of that. Really try and factor that into your schedule. I'm actually an early bird. I'm best if I'm kind of asleep by 9, half 9, especially in pregnancy. And then I actually probably feel better if I'm awake at like 6, even half 5 sometimes. So really figure out what works, make sure you're getting quantity, and then work on quality. I highly recommend on any of your smartphones, you put on nighttime filters or use apps. Really recommend some blue light filter glasses that you basically just wear from like 7 o'clock onwards, because most people are on a screen, either in front of a TV, in front of a computer, in front of a laptop, in front of a Kindle, or in front of their phone in the evening, and this can massively disrupt your circadian rhythm, your melatonin production, and therefore your sleep quality. It's one of the easiest hacks that you can do to improve your sleep. Both me and my husband have really good quality blue light filtering glasses, because he especially has been working more evenings, especially in lockdown when there was no childcare and we're both working. And then when I was sick and he was just doing everything, he would spend a lot of time working late in the evening because he was doing a lot of child and Kezia care during the day. So we both have really good quality blue light filter glasses. I'll link to the ones that we have. And actually my son loves playing with them, so we're probably going to get some of them for him. Although we haven't really ever introduced screen time, so it's not really a thing, but he'll be ready when we do. I'm sure when these twins come along, we'll be relying a lot more on CBeebies and maybe we'll own a TV, which we currently don't. So sleep, really important for your immune system. You'll know if you have had periods in your life through choice or not through choice where you've been sleep deprived and you get sick, you get a cold, you get a bug, you get a flu, you get something. It's just that clear. So think about, in terms of your action for this one, think about, okay, are you getting enough quantity of sleep, number one? And if you are, think about, okay, how's my quality of sleep? How much screen time do I have in an evening? And should I invest in some blue light filter glasses? The answer is probably yes, you should. I'll put a link to the show notes. I just bought some from Amazon, and we've also bought some from America as well that were slightly higher quality because I knew I want some better quality ones for when I will be feeding these babies when they come in the night, because that's massively disruptive. Okay, so sleep is a huge one. Next thing is looking at a couple of nutrients. So vitamin D. Vitamin D actually, which acts more like a hormone than it does a vitamin, is a wonderful thing. There's loads of research around vitamin D and how it affects everything from autoimmune conditions and arthritis and hyperthyroidism and immunity and coronavirus infections. Just all the things. So much good stuff. And we live in the UK and in Northern Hemisphere kind of places, we are really limited in the amount of vitamin D we can synthesize. You create vitamin D by getting your skin without any sunblock on out into the sunlight, and the sunlight needs to be at a specific spectrum and distance, and then there's a kind of chemical reaction or that synthesis of vitamin D that happens with that light impacting your blood in a really simple way. And within the UK, our window for doing that is quite short, just because of throughout the year our distance from the sun changes. Obviously, if you're in more the central part of the earth, then your distance from the sun doesn't alter as much. Anyway, so we're really limited. In Scotland, I think it's about 3 months maximum that we can synthesize that vitamin D. It's probably not that much more in the UK, in England. You really need to be making sure you're storing enough vitamin D, but also your ability to synthesize vitamin D is impacted by your genetics and certain genetic mutations. So I have a specific SNP that means I'm just quite sluggish at my vitamin D production, to be honest. I'm not that great. For example, when I was traveling around the world years ago, I basically spent like 12 weeks in Bali, Thailand, Cambodia, Kuala Lumpur, like warm places. I was in the sun, we were outside. And when I came back and tested my vitamin D, I was barely above reference range. And I had been in the sunshine for 10 weeks. That's that kind of sluggishness. Other people are much more sensitive. The darker your skin is, the more vitamin D or more opportunity for synthesizing vitamin D you will need. So if you say, if you have black skin, or especially there's some research around people of Indian heritage in terms of their ethnicity and skin color, are far more likely to be low in vitamin D. So what action can you take from this? The best thing that you can do is invest 30 quid and test your vitamin D. You can do this from home. The NHS does offer vitamin D testing, but they have changed some of their funding for it, I think, recently. So it is, I'm finding with clients, it's harder and harder for them to get a vitamin D test done at your doctor, but your GP may run it. So you could ask them to run a vitamin D test. But 30 quid, I think, is a great investment to look at your levels of vitamin D. Again, I'll put a link to the private lab that you can do it. It's a pinprick test. You can do it from home. I highly recommend that you test anyone that you know that is on the more vulnerable side, and ideally everyone in your family, if you can, depending on budget and those kinds of things. But it's one of the cheapest tests that you can do. Really, really helpful. And then that helps you to know, okay, if you're low in vitamin D, then you can start supplementing over the winter. Because if you're low in vitamin D going into winter, as the winter goes on, your immunity, your mood, your energy, all of these things are going to be detrimentally impacted. So this is something I'm going to be doing for my family, or for me and my husband anyway, I don't think I can bring myself to pinprick my child. I'm not sure it's recommended. But me and my husband will be doing, especially because in pregnancy and postnatally, vitamin D is huge. Any mental health issues, depression, anxiety, or bipolar, anything like that, vitamin D is huge. Any autoimmune condition, if you are someone that is more vulnerable and maybe you are on immunosuppressants, a lot of medications can deplete your vitamin D. So just testing and then knowing, and then if you come back as low, my optimal range for clients within the UK, America uses a slightly different range for it, is about 75 to 95. That's a nice range. The NHS ranges as anything over 50 is normal, but I personally want to see all my clients within that 75, 85 range, really as an optimal, especially going into winter. So vitamin D, it also, there's loads of great research in terms of it, in terms of COVID-19, and that's a viral infection. A lot of, everyone knows Donald Trump got the coronavirus recently, and his doctor prescribed him melatonin, vitamin D, and vitamin C, because all of those things have so much great research on it. And melatonin, that comes back to that sleep part. If you have healthy sleep, that means you have healthy melatonin levels. And melatonin, yes, is for sleep, but it's also a really powerful antioxidant in the body. So, side note, I know most people don't like Donald Trump. It's maybe not the best example to use, but I'm just saying that this is, there's lots of research backing these things up. So vitamin D, number one, order yourself a test, get your results, and then supplement if needed. And I would say, even if you'd run a test now, so in October, and it's all fine, you're in that 75, 80 range, wonderful, either retest or start supplementing as of February, March, because on average, you've got about 3 months of storage of vitamin D within your body. So the idea is that we store as much as we can in the summer, and then we kind of use that over winter. But the reason why I think partly why I can feel so low in January and February is because all my stores have gone down then of vitamin D. So it's worth checking in twice over the winter season, or just assuming that maybe by February, a little bit of vitamin D supplementation can help. And again, the supplement that I personally use, I will put in the show notes. And the test that I'm going to recommend, it's not an affiliate test, I've just recommended it to clients, also comes with some free supplementation as well. I think it's, I don't quite know how that works out. But anyway, so vitamin D, number one, great research. It's useful to do for all sorts of reasons. Find out what your number is. Be proactive, especially if you know people that are vulnerable or that you're worried about over this year. If you've got a granny and she's having to do a pinprick test, elderly people especially are more vulnerable to low vitamin D. People who are more housebound, people with suppressed immune systems, whether that's due to their disease or due to their medications, are all more vulnerable. So vitamin D. Next one, if we're looking at vitamins, is vitamin C. One of my favorite vitamins. I love vitamin C, Linus Pauling won 2 Nobel Prizes over his research around vitamin C. It's really cheap. Ascorbic acid, if you get the cheap form of it, it's really cheap, yet still effective. There's lots of great research on it. There's hardly any / none contraindications in terms of other medications that you can be taking. The only time that I wouldn't recommend high doses of vitamin D C is in active cancer treatment. That'd probably be the only time that you wouldn't want to take that. But vitamin C is phenomenal. The reason it can be so helpful, obviously it helps to boost your immune system. So vitamin C is an antioxidant, and your body is constantly creating inflammation and oxidative damage just by way of all your cells, kind of all the chemical reactions going on. And so your body also has these kind of, you have this oxidative damage, which isn't great, simply put it. And then you have these antioxidants within the body that help to deal with that. But when we're under stress, as we age, if we get viral infections, bacterial infections, whatever it is, our body's antioxidant ability can sometimes be depleted. Also, things like diet affects that, sleep affects that. And so vitamin C, supplementing with that specifically, can be a really helpful way to boost your immune system. It also boosts some of your body's natural glutathione production, which is one of your most master antioxidants. And that's a really important one. I often test with clients when I'm running a hormone panel with them, is to see, okay, how much glutathione is going on, because often depleted glutathione shows up a lot in chronic fatigue, in ME, in fibromyalgia, in those kind of chronic-y, ill, tired, unexplained sicknesses, essentially. So it's great for that. Vitamin C is also great for your hormones and your progesterone levels, which if you've been stressed, then cortisol can sometimes impact your how healthy your progesterone levels are. It also plays a really important role in collagen production. So thinking nice, healthy skin, hair, nails, but also the collagen within your gut. And so you get a lot of bang for not that much buck with vitamin C. Again, there's not a lot of contraindications in terms of medication. It's a supplement I'm quite comfortable to recommend to most people without knowing a thorough health medical and medication history from them. You don't need to take tons and tons. The most that you would do, if for some reason you had zero common sense and you overdosed on vitamin C, you'd probably just have the shits for a while at worst. You know, that's what we're talking, like you'd have loose stools if you were just completely had no common sense and just overdosed and took a whole bottle of vitamin C at once. That's the most likely thing that could happen. With vitamin C, ascorbic acid, so your cheap vitamin C. Again, this is one of the supplements that I'm like, ideally get a good quality one. And again, in the show notes, I'll link to a good quality one that we've used. But even if this is the one, and I mean the one and only supplement that you could just buy cheaply at a supermarket if you wanted to. It's not ideal, but essentially, if budget is an issue, that's fine. I do not say that for any other supplement. Do not get your fish oils, your multivitamin, your magnesium. Do not get anything else from cheap chemists or supermarkets or places like that. You do, it really is, quality really matters when it comes to supplementation. Really, really does. So vitamin C, and I will tell you how much I take. This is not this is not a dosage recommendation for you. You kind of have to figure that out. An additional, I'd say an average, to give you a bit of an idea, for most people, an additional 500 milligrams of vitamin C a day is really great and safe. I personally often have about 2 to 3 grams, so maybe 5 or 6 times more than that, just because I feel really good with more vitamin C, just because of some of the ongoing oxidative damage that has been going on in my body that I've been dealing with. So I take about anywhere between 1 and 3 grams of vitamin C a day. But in general, ideally, I say to people, take a vitamin C supplement with breakfast and with dinner, so you scatter it out a little bit. And that is a great way of doing it. Okay, so vitamin C, love vitamin C, great research on it. People have won Nobel Prizes because of their research on it. It's great for heart health. I didn't even mention that, cardiovascular-wise. So many good things, as well as immunity, virals, your adrenals, your stress management, all that sort of good stuff. So the next thing in terms of nutrients is zinc. So zinc is really, really important from an immune perspective, also from a skin health perspective. So if you find your skin gets really dry or your eczema flares up over winter, or you have things like psoriasis, zinc plays a really important role in that, and it has many other roles within the body. It's a mineral. A lot of people can be low in it, and with zinc, I would mainly just more recommend you getting zinc from the foods that you're eating. So these would primarily be making sure that if you are a carnivore, that you are eating good quality organic grass-fed beef. Ideally, making your own pate from liver if you like that. Those are the best sources of zinc that can be out there. But in general, kind of your darker, good quality meats, can be helpful. Again, the quality, a bit like supplements, quality matters. If you go with bog standard shop bought, you know, from your local store, bag of mince, chances are it's actually going to be quite inflammatory just because of the way the animal was raised, how it was fed, the drugs it was exposed to, the conditions it lived in, obviously affects its quality of meat and gets transported to you. If you get really good quality, and this is, again, looked shown in research, good quality beef, for example, it can actually become a really anti-inflammatory food with really good amounts of omega-3 fatty acids. So again, quality really matters when it comes to meat, which is why when people are like, oh, meat is so bad for you, it causes cancer, it's inflammatory, those big headlines, my response is often, well, yes, it does, and no, it doesn't. both, it really depends on what you're eating. If you're just eating cheap salami from the pound store every day, there's no benefit to that. It's just inflammatory. But if you're eating grass-fed, grass-finished, organic, really good quality meat, and you can eat it less often because obviously it's slightly more expensive to actually treat the animal properly and farm it properly. It's also better for the environment, so much better for the environment to raise cattle and chickens and pigs and things in a more ethical and healthy way. The benefit that that has on the soil and on our environment is huge. So it's an all-round winner. So if you are a meat eater, that is a great thing to do. If you don't like meat, then trying to get hold of some oysters could be really helpful. I know that's kind of harder to get in the UK. I know in America, you can sometimes get tins of oysters. And then there's also some more your vegetarian sources. With most of minerals and those kinds of things, food sources are the best. Sorry, not food sources, animal sources are the best. But other good foods and more vegetarian or plant-based foods would be things like pumpkin seeds. Those would be quite good in zinc. I think tofu has some zinc in. Hemp seeds have a little bit in. I'm talking these foods, though, are quite small. So like I think it's like 100 grams of tofu gives you like 14% of your daily recommended amount of zinc. So it's not loads here. I think it's pumpkin seeds are probably the best seeds when it comes to that. So ideally fish, if you are more of a pescatarian, that can be helpful. Otherwise go with things like pumpkin seeds, some tofu. I'm just trying to look and remember. I think chia seeds have an okay amount in. I'm just trying to think if there's another food I've forgotten, but that would be a way around. Seeds in general can be pretty helpful. If you don't have meat, or if you're just trying to be more plant-based, but you're not strictly vegetarian, kind of once a week, twice a month, getting some really good quality red meat would be great for you. So zinc's important. I don't generally recommend everyone randomly just to start supplementing with zinc, just because I'm not as confident that there's no other contraindications with medications and other things going on in the body. And just because something is good for you doesn't mean you need tons of it. And that's the mistake we make a lot. And the reason I'm confident with vitamin C is that it's water soluble. So anything that you take in excess, you basically pee out. You don't store it in the body, which is why we need it. But things like zinc, we can store a little bit more. So we want to be a bit more careful. So those are your three kind of nutrients, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc. There's tons more I could mention that I'll maybe talk about at the end in terms of a couple of bonus tips. But the next thing we want to look at, so we've looked at basically at four different things. And this next component is, this fifth and final point is really about, it's kind of a twofold message. Number one, you need to remove some of the stressors from your life. Number two is you need to manage the stress response. A great book on this is Burnout by Dr. Nagowski. I think it's how you pronounce the second name. I'll link to it in the show notes. But this is kind of two different points. Number one is removing the stresses. Let's look at that. And that's kind of what we often think of when we think of stress management, but it's actually only 50% of the pie, as it were. So stresses, these can be foods like you eating gluten when you know it makes you bloated, or dairy when it gives you blocked sinuses, or too much sugar, or too much alcohol, or saying yes and people pleasing, or unsupportive relationships, or stressors can be isolation. It can be mold toxicity in your house. It can be heavy metal exposure. It can be using terrible skincare products. And so all that endocrine disrupting, you're washing yourself with these endocrine disrupting chemicals every single day. That can be a stressor. And not having enough childcare support so that you're trying to juggle everything. That can be a stressor. Just eating too much processed foods, stressor. Think about, if you want to boost your immune system, the reason that you would get a cold, get a viral thing, that you'd start to get ill is because, and we see this, and you'll have seen this in your life, something stressful happens. You don't get enough sleep. You finish a huge project at work, or often when people go on holiday, that's when they get ill because they've been so stressed, and then all of a sudden their body just kind of goes, ugh. I noticed this whenever I'd go on like a date or eat out with my husband, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to treat myself to dessert. And then the dessert would often be really sugary and I wouldn't really enjoy it. And then the next day I'd wake up with a cold because like as I expose myself to that much sugar, almost for me, this is just my own personal finding and not everyone has this as the response. It would be a stressor to my body and kind of compromise my immune system. So really think about right now in terms of taking action on this, what is one thing, what's the first thing that comes to mind if you just close your eyes and ask yourself, okay, what is the biggest stressor in my life right now? And just start to brainstorm that and look at how can you manage that better, remove it completely. And it could be, you can start really simple. You could have financial issues and employment issues going on, but you might also be drinking too much coffee and you know it's not doing you good. It's making your sleep rubbish and a bit jittery. So start with something simple and just start to maybe go down to one coffee a day. Deal with that one stressor and that can still massively help your immune system. So that's part one, removing the stressor. Part two is actually managing the response to that stress. So when you have too much coffee, when you're in an unsupportive relationship, when you have a really stressful Zoom meeting that the connection broke up and people didn't listen to you, you have a biochemical response to that. You release adrenaline, cortisol, and that, and you need to deal with that response and manage that and almost like close the loop. That's how it talks about it in that the burnout book that I recommended. You need to manage that response because it's become a biochemical reality. Otherwise, you might get stuck being like a bit wired and stressed all day. And this is where meditation comes in. Meditation, again, tons of research, really well evidence-backed approach and strategy in terms of boosting your immune system, your mental health, your clarity, your performance, all that sort of stuff. So that's where that can come in. But even as simply as just breathing in through the nose, out through the nose. Just breathing in through your nose and out through your nose if you can, if you're not got blockages there. If you do have a lot of sinus issues, definitely make sure you remove dairy for 30 days and see if it improves. Often that can help for 80% of people. But breathing. So you have a stressful meeting or like my son at the moment's just being really annoying. I don't know if he's being more annoying or if I'm just more hormonal and tired. So I have less patience. So he does something like today, throws all his soup on the floor, thinks it's hilarious, throws sauerkraut everywhere. And I'm like, I'm sore and pregnant. And I'm just like, who's going to have to clear that up, buddy? I am. I get stressed. I have a stress response. I feel it. I get angry. My cortisol goes up. My adrenaline goes up. So I need to be intentional to do some breathing. And just 5 or 6 breaths. You get off a Zoom call. You go to the toilet after screaming at your kids. Just some breath work. I know it sounds almost trite, that it like so simple, it's pointless. It's really powerful, will really impact your immune system and help you to build resiliency so that you don't get colds, flus, viral infections, and all sorts of nastiness this winter. Really, really important, really helpful. So the final point is identifying some of the key stressors, and I'm just emphasizing the stressors, you know, the orbit, the thing, the circumstance, the relationship, the pollutant, the toxic thing that is stressing your body out, whether it's a food, whether it's a person, whether it's a habit. And that your habit could be drinking 2 glasses of wine a night. I can tell you now that will be stressing out your body and won't be doing your immune system any good. Or that packet of Oreos a night, same thing, just as that not communicating well with your partner and feeling unsupported, not having enough childcare. All of those things are equally as stressing as each other. So removing the stressor, highlighting what's the easiest thing you can do and remove right now. What's the easiest win for you when it comes to all the different stressors? Because you'll have more than one. Hello, it's 2020. We all have more than one stressor going on. I could list you a good old list of my own. But then it's then not just identifying that, but it's doing something through breath work or meditation where you process, you help your body to manage and move through that stress. Another good thing for stress management is just movement. This doesn't need to be going out for a run. It could be just putting on, I have a Pixies soundtrack that's like a minute and a half, and it's basically like a lot of screaming. They're an old rockish band. It's like a screaming song that's a minute and a half. Sometimes when I feel a lot of stress and I need to let it go through my body, I just put that on a minute and a half and kind of essentially run on the spot and punch my arms in the air. And I feel so much better after that. It doesn't need to be this an hour walk in the forest. If you can, that's great. But moving your body to a Beyoncé song, doing some jumping jacks, moving your body is another great way of that stress management, as well as breathing and mindfulness. So really important that every day you have pockets of intentional breathing, ideally a meditation habit, because it's free and it's like the best supplement that you could ever have, and some sort of movement. So those would be my top five things in terms of boosting your immune system. I would recommend just going one thing at a time. So I've mentioned to you five different things. Check in with yourself. Which one of those things do you feel most excited about or resonates with you most? Maybe you're like, oh yeah, I'd love to know. I'd love to test my vitamin D levels and see where I'm at. Okay, then that's your action. Book that, pay for that online. The test kit gets sent to your house. It's really simple. It's a simple pinprick test. It's not super painful. It's not tons of blood. It's like a spot test, really easy. Or maybe you're like, oh, Kezia, I feel really convicted about what you've been saying about sleep, because the kids have been home from school, or I've been working, I've been staying up and just watching Netflix and home improvement programs, which I can raise my hand to. And maybe you want to take an action on that by buying blue light filter glasses, by going to bed earlier, whatever it is. Pick the thing that resonates with you most, that you feel most excited about, and take action on it. Don't try and implement all five things at once. You're not going to do that. Or you'll just feel like a failure. Pick one thing and then you can always come back to this podcast and just keep on implementing. But I can guarantee you, if you implement these things, you will be building resiliency into your mind, into your body, into your energy, and of course, into your immunity, and be setting yourself up for success. These are also things that are totally applicable to kids as well. So I do this with my son. I mean, I can't force him to meditate. But, you know, reading a book, I think kids don't tend to struggle with stress management. They like scream and rant and tantrum, and then they go and giggle and read books and have fun. So I don't think kids struggle with that. But sleep, making sure I prioritize my sleep and my son's sleep and his routine, and the same elements for him, so he doesn't get screen time before bed or anything like that. I also give him some vitamin D supplementation support. He also has a very small dose of vitamin C in a kind of food-based supplementary form. And I make sure that he has red meat at least once a week, and lots of fish to make sure he's getting his zinc. So these are all things you can do for your kids, for yourself, for your family. And I hope that has been helpful. Other bonus things that I've been doing that I'll not go into much detail around, but I also take regular fish oil, cod liver oil, and my son takes that as well. We also add in probiotics can sometimes be helpful. Other things like acupuncture, massages can be really great for getting that lymphatic system moving, especially if you've got a lot of tension like I do, and my whole body is just the lady I go and see to get a massage, she's always like, you have so many knots in your body, which I think is just 30 years worth of trauma, essentially. It's just built up into knots in my system. Anyway, that we've been working on for the last year or two. That can be really helpful. Drinking plenty of water, herbal teas, lots of vegetables. Obviously, that kind of goes without saying. Having fun and playing, that's great for your immune system. And that's one that I'm often actually shockingly bad at. But I'm just like, I'm too tired. I'm either working or parenting. And I need to make sure prioritize. Laughing is great for your immune system. So those are a couple of bonus ones. But those five things are the core foundations, I would say, for you having a happy and balanced immune system. So I hope that's been helpful. Let me know any questions you have. If you're listening to this and you're on your phone, take a screenshot of it, and why not share it on Facebook or Instagram and tag me and just tell the world, hey, this is a podcast that's worth listening to. This might be useful for you. I would really, really appreciate that. You know, I don't have crazy sponsors or all of that kind of stuff on the show. So it grows just by word of mouth. So I really, really appreciate if you like the show, would you share it with someone else? Also, make sure that you check your emails. I've created a shorter program, one-to-one program that I'm running basically from November to the very start of January that I will be announcing soon. And the first people who get access to that will be on my email list. So I've kind of created this just out of demand, really. So if you want to work with me, but essentially you want to do it in a more affordable way than my usual four-month program, you want to save a bit of money, but you still want that one-to-one support for a lower cost investment, then make sure you're on my email list. Pay attention. I'll be announcing spaces for that soon. Spaces are going to be really limited, and I think I actually might have already filled like two of them by just secretly mentioning it to a few people on email already. So if you want to work with me, this will be the last chance to work with me privately before I go and have these twins, which is crazy to say out loud. Okay. Sending you lots of love. I really appreciate you being here. Let me know any feedback or even criticism from these shows, but I love to hear from you. Know that you're more powerful than you realize, and that you can impact your health, your immune system, your microbiome, and your health outcomes far more than you could ever realize. And that's kind of what I want to help you to do here with this show. Lots of love. Bye.